Did you know that 77% of eyeglass wearers wipe their lenses with t-shirts, tissues, or towels? Or that 1 in 3 people admit to accidentally dropping their glasses at least once a week? No one in the eye care industry needs to be told that this will lead to scratches on lenses or unhappy patients. So it's hardly surprising that 93% of wearers consider scratch resistance an important characteristic when choosing lenses. The latest Crizal lens innovation is here to help, and it's more durable than ever before. New Crizal Rock lenses are 3 times more scratch resistant than entry-level Crizal products and 2 times easier to clean than main competitors after extensive smudging. For more information about how you can bring this incredible new technology to your practice, go to EssilorPro.com/Crizal-Rock or contact your Essilor account executive for more details.
This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kate. Rachel, how is your day going?
My day's going great. Very chill, easy, not bad. Nice day off. How's your day going?
My day's going great. I did a lot of things at work. Just typed away, changing the world one day at a time. Then I went to the gym, worked out my body, and my little baby behind is sore. But that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. That means I worked it. And so that's good.
Yeah. Powering through it. It's 2022.
Mm-hmm. Doing big things.
New year.
Not new year, new me necessarily, but like new year, trying to get some good, fresh perspective. Like,
did you make a resolution?
I did not. But I'm listening to a book right now called Atomic Habits, which is, it's like a very prominent book. And it's a, It's really interesting because it talks a lot about habits. And so I think I'm going to try to work on some of my habits a little bit more of like things that I want to do. And so like some little things like tidying up my house. So, you know, like areas where I'm at that I could tidy up before I leave that area, like trying to add in habits. So, or like take away bad habits.
That sounds nice.
Not sure exactly what those are yet. And maybe I'll figure out more throughout the year of kind of what things serve me and what things don't. But I think right now the tidying up of like wherever I've been last, it's kind of a good spot for me.
Cool.
But I will, oh my gosh, I was going to tell, I forgot to tell you, today we had very crazy thing happen at our house. So we, my Evan's aunt and uncle brought us part, they bought a cow, but like the meat of a cow. So like they don't have a cow living in the backyard. They like, this is very common in the middle. I was like, I don't know. If you're a same person, this might seem crazy, but like, I feel like you know too, like you're a Midwest kid.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. So they bought a cow and so they had a bunch of ground beef. And so they brought some over because they're like, we have too many, too much. And then we have a deep freeze. So they're like, you've got space that you can have some, which was very kind, very, very kind of them. But we left one out and Evan was like, oh, I want to smoke burgers because we have a smoker. And I was like, yes, super pumped about this. We do a lot of stuff. We do a lot of smoked meats. Our deep freeze we got for Christmas and we like filled it up with like briskets and pulled pork stuff and like all those things that we could like smoke. So great. So Evan's smoking some burgers like a champ.
Yeah.
And he goes, I got 2 more minutes. And I was like, awesome. Yes. Pumped. And so he goes outside to pull them off the grill. And I look outside and the whole grill is like open. And it's very bright because there's flames everywhere.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I didn't know. I don't know enough to be able to say that's incorrect.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been correct. Like, I could have gone out there and been like, Evan, there's so much fire. And he'd be like, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. And I'd been like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
And then I see him run around from behind and, like, shut the top of the grill. And I was like, oh, so that is wrong. I went out there and we had, like, a grease fire in the grills. The burgers were just fatty enough that they caused a grease fire in the grill. Oh, and shoot. So, yeah, it was very eventful. Our burgers were very smoky. It was a very
smoky. Oh, so they were salvageable.
Yeah, they were. They were still fine. But, like,
yeah,
those were some smoky burgers.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That reminds me of one time I did this volunteer thing where I had to make a turkey for Thanksgiving for the shelter. And my turkey, like there was flame shooting out of my oven. So I did it real bad, but it was still delicious.
I think flames don't equal bad all the time.
No.
Like,
no,
yes, no. Yes. Let me take a step back. Yeah. Flames always equal something has most likely gone wrong. But it does not equal that the food is automatically going to be terrible.
No, like there's like Cherry's Jubilee. That has flames.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. If the flames continue to get larger equals bad. Like something's going wrong.
At the slightest indication, I will stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah. I don't really want to. I was very glad, one, that Evan had the grill pulled away from the house. Real proud of him. Because I know it sounds bad, but not really wanting to. This does not sound bad. I do not want to deal with a fire right now in my home.
No.
Not really into that.
Oh, my gosh.
No. So, yeah, everything worked out. Everything's fine. Just smoky burgers. That's what we had for dinner. Smoky burgers.
Sounds pretty good. What are we having? What's on the menu today?
So, we are having, this is going to sound super ridiculous, and this is going to be food for everybody. I want you to come up with, this is your imagination. This is your imagination. So, the food is, for me right now, these protein muffins, but it can be anything for you, is something that you are like, this is the best food ever. And you eat it and you eat it and you eat it. And all of a sudden one day you're like, I cannot eat this food anymore. I'm done. This is no longer tasty. This is no longer good.
Totally.
And all of a sudden you're kind of life and then you latch onto something new. So like,
yeah,
whatever that looks like.
That's me and kale smoothies. It was going so good for like a year. And then my body was like, never again.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's try it for another whole week. And every single day my body was like, did you hear me?
I thought we told you that our taste buds said,
negative. Yeah.
So why we're having this food is this kind of pattern has inspired me actually to look more into my mental health. So I have been on TikTok because last year, if I went back and I listened to our last year podcast on this actually, and I said, what did 2020 bring us? And I was like, TikTok, don't even know what it is. Don't even care. Like, done with TikTok. Well, here I am in 2022 saying, Kate, you're wrong. We're into it. We're here. We've arrived. So, I was watching TikTok and I was watching and looking at stuff on Instagram and I had these like things targeted at me and I was like, why are so many people like, why do people that talk about ADHD and their ADHD symptoms keep getting targeted to me? I was like, what the heck is this? That's wrong. So fast forward to recently, that's not wrong. I've recently got a diagnosis of ADHD, which has actually been insightful in my life. And so I felt like today is just like being a champion of your own mental health and being able to how to ask for help well when you don't know what to do next. I think that's a place where we've all been. And especially going into 2022, we're going into the junior year of the pandemic. Like, it's just where we are. And so
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. So
terrible.
I think it's just a place where, I mean, healthcare workers are getting burnt out left and right because they don't get breaks. And they, I mean, just like with the CDC recent, like, I mean, I have a friend that's an ER nurse and like the CDC says like, all right, healthcare workers, after 5 to 7 days, even if you're still feeling crappy, get back to work kind of thing. And
yeah,
that's not their exact quote. Like, I don't exactly quote them, but there's just a lot of stress in being a healthcare worker and being diligent and being a person that has to answer questions and constantly as a part of this. I think it's just a piece where I don't think I'm going to be able to cure you or anything, but I just want to give you like something powerful to latch on to if that's what you need right now. So, yeah.
Do you want to talk about how you got your diagnosis and like what tipped you off?
Yeah, definitely. So honestly, it was a lot of this, like kind of these posts. Like I had a doctor that was based in Kansas City that I started following her on Instagram. She's super cool. She's a psychiatrist. Just thought she was super fun. And she has ADHD. And like she started talking about her symptoms and her anxieties and different things of that nature. And I was like, whoa, that's me. That's me. How did you know that about me? I thought it was like, this is just everybody's lived experience. I just expected every person to have this lived experience. So, like things of when something does not sound fun, I just don't want to do it. Like that is, if it doesn't have an exciting component to it, I don't want to do it. Or I will latch onto something that sounds super exciting. And then the moment it doesn't, it's no longer exciting. I'm jumping ship. And like, not intentionally. Like, it's not like I go into a situation and say, oh, I'm going to be done as soon as this doesn't sound fun. Like, It's just as soon as that's no longer a relevant or exciting thing in my life, like it's, I just slowly but surely like dread doing it. And it's just the most painfully painful. It feels like somebody's pulling out my toenails, like trying to get myself to do it. You know, like it's just like, oh my gosh, this is so terrible. And so had some of that. And then working from home, really, I really struggled the first little bit starting to work from home. I will have some good strides, and I'd hit moments again where it's really hard. With motivations, anxieties, focusing, being able to prioritize tasks was really hard for me. So, just kind of hit some like things, and I thought I was just kind of getting emotionally distressed, and my anxieties and depression were just kept coming to a head consistently around all of these things. And I just was like, what the heck is going on? So I wanted to kind of connect with my doctor or something, of being like, how can we change up medication that I'm on? I was looking into therapy, like what's the next step for me to get better? Because gosh, it was hard. Like life would get hard in different areas. So, I kind of like got on this train of like, I'm a woman with ADHD, and it just like made sense to me, but I didn't have an official diagnosis. So I decided that I wanted to go to a psychiatrist. When my first psychiatrist, our appointment was for 30 minutes. They didn't get on until like for 15 minutes. It was all virtual, which I didn't mind. But they didn't get on for 15 minutes. And so we had 15 minutes of talk time. They're like, I said, this is why, I mean, one, I rehearsed my speech, which is like speed pitch. They're like, so why do you think you have ADHD? I was like, well, usually I describe what's going on in my life, and then you kind of tell me what's back. Like, you give me your differentials. Like, usually that's how it works for me, but whatever, we'll go this way. And she said, no, you just have imposter syndrome. You might have some ADHD, but you just have imposter syndrome. I was like, what? That doesn't feel right. And she's like, here's some new meds. Let's try to add these on. And so it took months. Like, I just felt so shame. I felt a lot of shame around that. And also, I would forget to call to say, hey, you sent my meds to the wrong place again. Like, it just was literally the hardest thing to kind of get into this pattern.
Yeah.
And so then I ended up just asking around with some friends and saying like, hey, did any of you have a psychiatrist or a mental health professional that's just like a good resource for you? So I reached out to one of them. My friend suggested one, and I was able to get in with them quickly. And so,
like in person?
So virtual still. Most psychiatry appointments right now are virtual, just because it's an opportunity where we can be safer. And the guy was like, oh no, you have ADHD. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I walked into that one saying like, Something has to change. Like, I think this is it. Like, I've done my research. I think this is it. But like, if not, something has to give. Like, let's figure out what are these hangups. Like, is it the next step is therapy? Is the next step medication? Like, what's next here? Like, I feel at a crossroads and I don't know what to do. So he's like, well, let's try some medication. And so I started a couple weeks ago on some stimulants to kind of help my brain. And it's been, I don't know if these meds are going to be the best thing for, like, this med is the exact one I want to be on, but it just was exciting. I think I wanted just to, like, it's exciting to know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's exciting to know, like, that you're not alone and you're not, like, in this trying to figure things out by yourself.
Yeah, and now you're on the right path.
Yeah, and just, like, going to a professional that's really excited to listen. So it just was, I felt like it was just a conversation that I remember sitting there, like, never been to a psychiatrist. I always went to my like primary care doctor, and I was like, here's stuff going on. And they're like, yeah, here, just try this. Like, go for it. Yeah. And so now, I don't know, visiting a mental health professional was an awesome moment. Like, not both experiences weren't exactly the same, but like choosing to advocate for myself and like choosing to do that, I was like, I can just do this.
Yeah. I would agree with you that like, it's important to find the right person for you. When I was in high school, I for years I had been asking to go to see a professional, because I knew that I had obsessive compulsive disorder, because I'd read it in a teen magazine, and like the tics and compulsions that I had were really interfering with my daily life. And I was very embarrassed about them. But mm-hmm. my parents, you know, like, they thought I would grow out of it. And I did grow out of some of it. But by the time I started driving, it was like, this is life or death. I need to see mm-hmm. somebody. And so they took me to this psychiatrist. And the first psychiatrist that I went to was like, not a good match. Mm-hmm. Not a good match at all. Like, I don't confide well in men. Mm-hmm. Strange men. I won't. Mm-hmm. I refuse. Yeah. I don't want to. And I did. And they got me on a medication, but it was like going there was hard. Mm-hmm. And so then someone recommended to my mom this other person. She was a woman. She was like wonderful. She specialized in kids, like a child psychiatrist. Yeah. And she got me on a different med. And she was like so wonderful and easy to talk to and like gave me tools that I could use. And so then I just like stayed on that medication like all the way until I was an adult. And then I got on a different medication. It's even better. But I got that through my primary care doctor. So like I've just been on primary care like supplying my medication and it still works. But it's like anytime I'm talking to a counselor, it's always better. Getting a diagnosis was really important. It felt important because, like, I knew that what I was doing, like, a big thing with obsessive compulsive disorder is, like, it's in the family of anxiety, but it's also in the family of Tourette's.
Yeah.
So, like, it can really...
Yeah.
It, like, if you're trying to be a cool high schooler, it can really mess up your life.
Well, and I mean... Either anxiety or Tourette's. Like, you've got, like, both of those together. Like, and it's not, and especially when you're trying to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
Like,
that sucks. And just the obsessive thoughts are, like, they're so horrible. And a big part about obsessive compulsive disorder is that you know that these thoughts are irrational, but you can't help yourself from having them. So I feel like having a diagnosis feels freeing.
And like not everything that ever happens in my life is ever going to have a diagnosis. Like, I mean, I'll have sad days and like different things or something that like, I don't know, like every once in a while, like my shoulder might hurt and like, I'm not going to have a diagnosis for everything, but something that's consistent and I mean, habitual really is just such a knowing that you're not alone is a huge win. It's a huge win.
Yeah. And, so, and then you can learn more about it because there's stuff written about it and there's a name and you could do a little bit of research on it.
Yeah. And especially I think there's – and I think another really great thing about it too is like you can share that with other people and they better understand you.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's – when I can say stuff now that's like, hey, this is me. Like people can understand who I am and what's important to me and all of those things a little bit easier. It's kind of it's kind of nice to have.
It's like a shorthand.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's not as much shame in, I don't know. There's not as much shame. Like when I was kind of told like, no, you just have imposter syndrome. Like that just felt really shaming to me because I know imposter syndrome and I was like, I know the differences and like I've worked through a lot of this. And so I've worked with the therapist. I've worked with people to kind of work through that. And so that doesn't feel real to me anymore. That doesn't feel like a real thing that I feel in my life. And so, I want to, like, I think there's just such a power. There's just so much power in knowing and understanding yourself. And I think the other thing about it is, I think we both touched on is finding the right person for you.
Oh my gosh. So crucial.
Yeah. And like
finding, and you can shop as long as you need to.
Yeah. Like my parents, my mom had a, They've moved a few times in the past. Like they moved from Kansas City to Springfield and then they moved back to Kansas City. And the doctor that we had, I mean, literally he was our family doctor we've had since we were growing up, retired while my parents were in Springfield. So when they came back, they needed to find somebody new. And when they tried to find someone new, they found somebody that they thought they would like, was recommended to them. And they're like, my mom was like, this is not clicking. This is not a jam. Like she just was like, when we talked about getting vaccinated, he was just going on and on about AstraZeneca. And she's like, that's not even approved in the US. Like, I just wanted to know, like, when can I get vaccinated? Like, she's like, it's just a lot of these things. So she decided to kind of start shopping around and figuring things out. And like the excitement when she found somebody that she connected with. And I think in twofold. Like, one, I want to be the doctor that, like, somebody can connect with. And two, if I'm not that doctor mm-hmm. for you, at first I used to get, like, really hurt because I was like, oh, I'm trying to be the same doctor for everybody. But, like, I'm not going to be the perfect mm-hmm. doctor for everybody.
Yeah.
And so allowing that.
Yeah, and when you pitched this topic to me, it was really good because it's like we talk a lot about mental health. We as a society talk a lot about mental health and the need for like self-care. But sometimes it's much more than just get yourself a massage.
Yeah.
Sometimes get yourself on meds is the answer.
Yeah. And like if you don't want to be on meds, if you want to figure out something different, getting a mm-hmm. diagnosis and getting a doctor that can advocate and work with you to be able to find those mm-hmm. things, finding a coach. I mean, like my mom suggested that to me as well. And for me, it didn't sound like the right option. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to change my mind. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
I change my mind all the time. I said no to TikTok last year. Here I am, obsessed, watching it all day, every day. And so, like,
yeah,
you know, I think there's options and opportunities for you to find what works best for you. But understanding mm-hmm. where you are and working with someone to figure that out is a win. And so, I mean, there's things as simple as like BetterHelp and Talkspace and stuff like that, where it's just like a place to start if you just need a place to start. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, literally, like, this is, if you're like, I feel sad a lot, like, and it's more sad days than good days. I feel like I can't control my thoughts or emotions. I feel like there's that things are hindering me from getting me from where I am to where I want to be. So like, you know, like you're like, I do all the good things that I can. And it's, you know, like I'm feeling like there's a disconnect there.
Yeah.
Like literally Google a psychiatrist and like meet up with, like find an appointment with them. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily, a lot of places you don't check with your insurance, but most times you don't need a referral. And if so, even then the psychiatrist will like reach out to your primary care doctor for a referral or something of that nature. There's communities that are out there to kind of like look at things. And it's, I think finding someone, especially like Google, let's say you're like, I don't want to get on meds. Like, that's not where I want to be. But I want to be in a psychiatrist that will help me with my nutrition. Maybe that's a route you mm-hmm. want to take.
Yeah. Or Google like support it. Groups. There are probably free support groups for whatever ails you.
Yeah. All the time. And, or like even a Facebook group or something of that nature. Like there's groups that are the opportunities. And so I think sometimes it can feel debilitating when you don't know what's next. And mm-hmm. So finding a professional to do that, I think, is a big win for a lot of us. When you're like, I just have a bunch of symptoms and I don't know what these mean. And they could just be a bunch of random symptoms. And they're like, this is just a moment in your life and we're working through it. Like, I mean, I remember in boards, like, I probably had more depression then than I have, like, in my generalized life on things. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, okay, let's work on this right now. Let's figure this. Let's get you through this time and figure out the next step. And they're like, this might not be mm-hmm. forever. Let's figure out the next step. I think that's just a big win. To do.
Yeah. Understanding psychology is like a prerequisite for optometry school. Like, you mm-hmm. have to take psych, don't you?
Yeah. For, I think, a majority of schools. I haven't seen one that doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good idea because there are so many eye conditions that are associated too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Like, and then like we had,
trichotillomania and all of that.
Yeah. Like there's, and so I think one thing that I've been trying to get through is people say like, oh, it's okay not to be okay. And like, I agree with that. Like you're welcome to have the feelings that you're living in and have the feelings that you're experiencing. But mm-hmm. I also want you to know and feel power mm-hmm. in that if you are like, I need to change this. Like, this is hindering who I am and I need to change this, that you feel power to go for a change there. Like, have an actionable step to take next. And so either meeting up with a counselor, like a psychologist, is someone, they might not be able to prescribe you meds, but they can say, here's where we're going. Like, let's get you to a doctor to get you like a medical professional that can prescribe them. And I mean, also your psychiatrist doesn't have to be an MD. Like, I go see a nurse practitioner. There's PAs, there's people that you don't have to necessarily find, like have to go to an MD to get some of these things. Like, you can utilize another individual.
Mm-hmm. Good talk.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to hit on today?
I want every listener to know that, like, who you are and where you're at, I guess. This is just, like, 2022 is just like, who you are and where you're at is valid. And whether you have 50 million resolutions or you don't, or you just kind of want to like just be right now, like proud of you. Like you're just, you're,
yeah.
I'm impressed. I heard recently, like, and this has kind of stuck with me, is like saying someone, telling somebody that like you're proud of them, it can feel like you're like their mom or their dad or something, like saying like, I'm proud of you. Like, so they said, try instead maybe like the word impressed, like I'm impressed by you. And that kind of like tickled my fancy. I was like, that's a cool word. So like, know that you're, I'm impressed by you. Like you are here, you're showing up.
Yeah.
Like I'm impressed. And like you're one listening to this and you're thinking, if you're thinking to yourself like, man, maybe it's time to go see a psychiatrist, I'm impressed. Like, great. You did great. Yeah. Self-recognition. If you're saying, I don't know if this is for me, but I know somebody else, I'm impressed that you can recognize that others. And if you said, this is just great information to know, like, I'm glad that I know this, I'm impressed that you took the time to listen. Like, I'm just impressed with all of the effort that you're taking. That's my thoughts.
I am impressed.
Thank you. So what's your big takeaway?
My takeaway is that everybody has an internal life and struggles that they're dealing with on the day to day. I'm going to try and be sympathetic.
Mm.
A good listener,
mm-hmm.
a caring resource,
mm-hmm.
for those kids, those little kids who are just blinking so hard that their parents are scared. I feel you.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. Any action items you're going to take next? Action.
I'm going to keep taking my meds. Mm. How about you?
Amen. My takeaway is one, like, I think, I mean, you said it, but like finding the right person. Like, I think that's just a takeaway, like, in all of my medical things, like, finding the right person. And then my action item is, again, to keep taking my meds and, like, keep trying these out. It's a trying to, and also, I guess one other thing to say, like, you might not get the perfect meds on the first try. Like, that's extremely real. Yeah, that's extremely real.
I got really tired. I was falling asleep in choir.
Because choir sometimes, it drones on. And the sounds are
so hard.
And the sounds are soothing. Like, especially if it's a good choir.
Such, like, yawning.
Yes. Oh, gosh. But, like, if you, you know, like, know that it's okay if it's not the right the first time. And then just keep advocating for yourself. Like, talk about your experiences. Write them down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so until next time, guys.
Until next time.
Bye.